From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Lindsay Brulini. Officials with the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced nearly $9 million in grants yesterday for 25 different projects across Southeast Alaska. The grants are intended to be an early step in a long-term commitment to foster lots of sustainable economic activities driven by locals. There's support for indigenous cultural programs, seaweed and shellfish farming, timber management, and more. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
A small crowd of federal bureaucrats and representatives of Southeast Alaska organizations celebrates the signing of an agreement in Juneau. It establishes a permanent team made up of U.S. Department of Agriculture officials who will work on sustainability goals in Southeast Alaska. There's also a new permanent position tied to the team.
Yeah, I'm Barb Miranda, and I'm the SAS coordinator.
SAS stands for Southeast Alaska Sustainability Strategy. For now, that's a unique thing. The USDA doesn't have other sustainability strategies for other parts of the country. Miranda says in the past, tribes, local governments, or other organizations in Southeast had to shoehorn their needs into existing federal programming. This new strategy has meant getting several different USDA agencies working together and listening to local needs.
This is different. We asked for input from our local organizations and received it. And now the federal agencies, we're doing the work to struggle to fit those into our agency authorities. The shoe's on the other foot with this.
Miranda is based in Juneau, and until about a week and a half ago was the director of the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center, which the Forest Service runs. She's also a former mayor of Gustavus, so she's been on both sides of the table. The USDA announced it was working on the strategy last July, along with a commitment to invest $25 million in Southeast Alaska. It complements the Biden administration's efforts to end large-scale, old-growth timber harvesting in the Tongass National Forest and a renewed effort to limit new roads in the Tongass. Alaska's congressional delegation opposes the roadless rule in the Tongass because they say it squelches economic activity and gets in the way of local stewardship. The delegation could not immediately be reached for comment about the latest developments. Xochitl Torres-Small is the USDA's Undersecretary for Rural Development. She says those changes were part of why Southeast Alaska is getting special attention.
And so as you look at the changes in the timber industry, not strictly the roadless rule, but you look at court decisions and you look at impact in terms of the challenges the timber industry faces now, combined with people who are responding to that by working more collaboratively together, by coming up with new ideas for how to invest in the home that they love, that's something you want to invest in. That's something that rural development, that's something that USDA wants to be a part of.
Torres Small says the lessons the agencies learn in Southeast Alaska could be applied in other parts of the country.
At this time, this is really a pilot. We're forging new ground here.
USDA officials say they're working on getting another $16 million in sustainability grants to Southeast Alaska in the next 6 months or so. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
You can see a list of all 25 projects getting grant funding on the web version of the story at ktoo.org. And a little update on the story. On Friday, Senator Lisa Murkowski said through a spokesperson that she is monitoring the strategy's impact on Alaskans, but still opposes a renewal of the roadless rule in the Tongass. In other news, the Chamai Dance Festival returned to Bethel last week after nearly 2 years on hiatus due to the pandemic. For dancers of the village of Chifornuk, it was a chance to finally honor loved ones lost over the last few years with neighbors from around the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. As Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George reports, dancers described the return as a relief.
As the Chifornuk dancers took the stage on the first day of the Chamai Dance Festival, the group leader reached for a microphone. Drummer Sam Flynn asked for a moment of silence to honor community members who had recently died. The crowd stood and remained quiet for about 15 seconds. The group arranged themselves in three rows on stage. Drummers seated at the back held wide, flat drums called chawiet. Dancers held fans called yuakchutet. The first song described subsistence animals, walruses, rabbits, and geese.
Awa
The group is dancing this year without one of their main elders. Flynn's grandfather, Hilary Kaiyuhayuak, died recently of COVID.
She was the only elder we had, and while she passed on, we're trying our best.
The Chifornik group performed at the last Chamai in 2019. The year before that, they'd had to pull out at the last minute when Chifornik Tribal Council president and drummer Walter Lewis died suddenly in a snow machine accident. With the losses brought on by the last few years, Flynn says, being back at Chamai feels like a relief.
Yeah, because those people that passes on, they're in their spirit and joining us.
Just gathering to Yuak together is a relief, too. Chifornik dancer Lorraine Tom says Yuaking is something her whole village does together, especially in the winter.
When the days are shorter, that's when we enjoy dancing more. So that wintertime was pretty hard for a lot of us.
The group was able to practice a little outdoors over the summer, but gathering during a pandemic has proved difficult, since most of the spaces they would usually dance in were closed to the public. The Chifornik dancers began Yuaking regularly again just a few months ago to get ready for Chamai. Tom says it felt restorative.
Well, some people like to say that it's like a Yupik medicine, like mentally and physically. I feel like it's very healthy.
In their final dance, the Chifornik group invited the crowd to join in on a well-known song depicting a seal hunt. Children and adults climbed on stage alongside them and performed in sync. Audience members mirrored the dancers' hand movements, and elders nodded and tapped their feet as drums grew more intense. Tom was happy to share the stage.
I really like it because a lot of us get to scoot up front to make room for the others, and the way they we share some like joy with the people that we don't normally walk with feels pretty good. Even feels good that they even know the songs that we walk.
The Chifornik dancers expect to be back again next year. With Yuktun translation help from Julia Jimmy, at the Chamai Dance Festival in Bethel, I'm Kavitha George.
Second COVID-19 booster shots are now available for some Alaskans. People over 50 and immunocompromised people can receive a second booster 4 months after their first booster. Pfizer and Moderna boosters are available for those who receive a Johnson & Johnson first dose or booster. Case numbers continue to level off in Alaska and around the country. At a public health presentation Wednesday, state epidemiologist Dr. Lisa Rabinowitz said getting vaccinated and boosted is still important.
During this recent surge, those who were boosted were 21 times less likely to die from COVID compared to those who were unvaccinated and 7 times less likely to be hospitalized.
The new booster authorization comes as BA2, a subvariant of Omicron, spreads throughout the country. BA2 makes up over half of cases nationally and 45% in Alaska. Officials say BA2 seems to be more transmissible but less virulent than BA1. That means it spreads more easily but doesn't cause more severe illness. Vaccines are also as effective against BA2 as they are against BA1, but BA2 is affecting treatment options. One of the monoclonal antibody treatments is not effective against BA2. Other monoclonal antibody and antiviral treatments are still available, but it's important to ask a healthcare provider about them quickly. That's because patients need to start taking them soon after testing positive or experiencing symptoms in order for them to be effective. Rabinowitz says supply levels for vaccines, monoclonal antibody, and antiviral treatments in the state are stable. The state health department will update all COVID-19 dashboards weekly on Wednesdays, rather than daily, starting April 6th. In other news, dozens of flights along the West Coast are being canceled as Alaska Airlines pilots picket during ongoing contract negotiations with the airline. 5 flights have been canceled in Juneau, according to FlightAware.com. The union action comes as air travel rebounds to pre-pandemic levels, and many Americans are heading onto vacation for spring break. Alaska Airlines says in a statement that it values its pilots, but it needs to negotiate a deal that allows the airline to maintain growth and profitability. This is KTOO News.